You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, how strange it is to sing the songs of evening while the sun burns bright outside. But in this season of Lent, let us see the darkness of our sin and turn from it toward you, who alone can scatter the darkness with your own uncreated light. Enlighten the darkness of our hearts now. Reform our minds that we might be transformed into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray.
Amen.
I'll be controlling things from up here, Don. Retreat! Retreat! It's a cry that soldiers hate to hear. Because it's a cry you only hear when your side is losing. It's a cry that strikes terror. I went to seminary in Gettysburg, and one of the things you learn as you walk the battlefield during those years is on each day of the battle how the line shifted and flowed, and how at one place in particular, my favorite part of the battlefield to walk, they would fight a couple inches down and a couple inches back, gaining 10 yards in an hour and being pushed back 10 yards the next hour, until finally the call for retreat was sounded. Terrifying. Terrifying. It conjures in our minds images like the following one from the movie. Will you click that? Give me a click one forward on the PowerPoint, please. Just go forward one for me. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. This is an excerpt from the movie All Quiet on the Western Front, which is, if you don't know the book, is between the Germans and the Russians. Cut that scene way short. We don't need that much gore on a Sunday morning. But the call of retreat brings to mind your friends and colleagues falling around you as you run from the enemy. He's carrying all those bullets because he was instructed to carry as much as he could with him, because anything they left behind would be shot at them. Terror, chaos. This is what retreat conjures in the mind of a soldier. But for those engaged in the spiritual life, for Christians, the word retreat should conjure another kind of image for us. Images of quiet and peace. Images of time with our God. And indeed, that peace with our God is what we were created for. Take you back to chapter 1 of the Bible. The Garden of Eden. Humanity is created as the capstone of all of God's creation. On day 6, as the very last act of creation, God creates these beings made in his own image and places them in the creation that he has profoundly proclaimed again and again to be good. And then, that what that means is that before they are ever given a task to achieve, and everybody remembers what the first task is, right? Name the animals. We're still doing that as we discover new ones. But before ever they have a job to do, they experience the Sabbath, God's rest. See, we were created to work from our rest, not to work in order to earn or achieve it. In fact, keeping us busy, keeping us occupied has been the constant strategy of tyrants throughout the ages. Do you remember what Pharaoh said to Moses when they said, "Let my people go for 3 days after 400 years of servitude, for 3 days to go into the wilderness and worship God?" He said, "Your people aren't busy enough. Make bricks without straw. Keep them busy." We were meant to live from the peace of God into the work we have, which is, as we say in our prayers, to dedicate ourselves to the care and redemption of all that God has made. You say, "Well, Pastor, we don't live in the garden anymore." And you are right, we don't. Our sin has expelled us from the garden. And now we live these lives where we are pressured constantly. We're pressured by finances. We're pressured by our boss. We're pressured by our employees. If you're self-employed, you know how many bosses you have. Every client who hires you. We're pressured by our own sense of our lack of worth. We're pressured by the need to achieve in order to make the next step in our professional development. We're pressured by our children. We're pressured by our parents. We're constantly under pressure. And the pressure that doesn't come from the outside comes from the inside. And so it is that we need retreat. We need to call a halt to all the madness in our lives and take a break and pull back. There was a book published a couple of years ago called "The Body Keeps the Score." Here's the news for you. If you live in that stress too long, your body will shut you down. You end up with an ulcer, or in the hospital, or with a heart attack, or a stroke, or with such gross fatigue you can't drag yourself out of bed, you don't know why. We need to call a halt to that and retreat with God in order to find the peace from which we were designed to live in the first place. Now, how do you know you're reaching that breaking point? Well, this halt, this word halt, is also an acronym that psychologists use. There are four indicators that you're reaching your point of breaking. Four easy ones for anyone to notice. What I love about this is you can teach an elementary school kid this, and they can start to pay attention. Now, all these are things which are normal and natural to experience under certain conditions, but if you experience them constantly, over and over again, it's kind of like your default setting. You're running on empty or very close. And the first of these is hunger. If you wonder where addictive eating comes from, it's when you reach the place where you feel like the only thing you control is what you put in your mouth. Or when you're running so hard and so fast that you don't take time to eat. If you find yourself consistently wanting just more and more and more, it's an indication that your stress level is too high. Next is anger. Again, there are good reasons to be angry. But if you find that your default setting is just ready to tip over into anger, if you feel like a hot water boiler, it's about to blow all the time, and the littlest things either that happen to you or that you do yourself set you off. And I say that as a guy who feels that way about myself a lot. It's an indication that you're not retreating enough, not living from your rest towards God. If you feel persistently lonely, I don't mean alone. One of my favorite things to do for retreat is spend an hour in the woods with nothing but the sound of my own thoughts and the birds and the wind in the trees. I never feel alone when I do that. But when you feel alone, whether you're surrounded with a group of people or not, whether you feel isolated, like no one can connect with you and no one understands you, it is not good for the man to be alone, as God said. We are not made for that. If we're feeling isolated, it's an indication that these forces are coming to bear against us and we need rest and retreat. We're tired. Always, always, always tired. May mean you need more sleep, but it also may mean that the stress is getting to you and that what you need is rest. Now, the rest we know we need as Christians is more than just rest of the body, although that is good. Don't skip that. But it's rest with God and Jesus Christ. See, if we're tired, we need succor from the one who is the source of all energy. If we're lonely, we need to be with the one who never leaves us. If we're angry, we need to be with the one who alone can be angry with perfect justice. If we're hungry, we need to remember that man was not made to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We need prayer, not just to Jesus, we need prayer with Jesus. And where Jesus prays for us, as the book of Hebrews shows us so clearly. Or if we are spending time, intentional time in communion with He who is called the Mighty Counselor. And Jesus Himself did not skip this in His own lifetime, as we just heard in our gospel reading. Now Jesus was, of course, without sin, again, as the book of Hebrews says, but when He was here in our flesh, living life on this broken and fallen world, these same pressures were coming to bear against Him, so He would just stop what He was doing and go off and spend time with His Father to be restored, to have that peace and that rest in God that has been His birthright from all eternity. He went on retreat. And this is what we are called to do as well. Now, I'll put a couple of R's in the front of that there. It wasn't a typo. Because right around the time of the Reformation, today, actually, I didn't plan it this way, but today is actually Martin Luther's feast day. That's why the extra candles lit. Today was the day Martin Luther reposed in the Lord. Right around the same time he was working, there was a guy working named Ignatius of Loyola who came up with a beautiful, easy way to find that rest and retreat with God for working people just like you and me. Okay? Now, last week I was talking about being transformed like Christ, and everybody enjoyed the video, and it was a great sermon, but I kind of thought to myself afterward, if I were you, I'd be like, Pastor, sounds great. How do we do that? How do we find that transformation in Christ? Well, Ignatius of Loyola gave us four steps in what's called his examine. A daily examine takes just a few minutes, but we're going to walk through them in the coming weeks of Lent. First of them is read. Read Scripture. Because in Scripture, God is promising to speak to you. God does speak in that still small voice, and we're going to talk more about that. But in the Scripture, He has promised to speak to you. And because those words are there, and they're engraved in ink before you, your own distractions can't tear you away from them. The busyness of your own mind can't force you away from those words. You can keep coming back to them like an anchor. So you read the Scripture. And then you reflect upon not just the Scripture, but your own life and your own, the way things are going in your life. You learn to read your life looking for God, just like you read the Scripture, listening for God. Then you respond. You think intentionally about how you would respond to where God has been working in your life and working in the Scriptures. And then you rest. Then you rest. We're going to go through all these in greater detail in the coming weeks of Lent. So stay tuned, or if you can't be here, check out the podcast or the YouTube channel. But finally, Martin Luther added one more step to this. Because he didn't live in a monastery like Ignatius of Loyola. He added the step, re-engage. How do you take that piece and re-engage the day's battle? Because in a fallen world, often our lives are going to be experiences of battle, especially if we're living for Christ. But Christ calls us to retreat not because we're losing. See, he can't lose the battle. I've read the end of the book. But we can get lost in the battle. And so he calls us to be on retreat with him, that he can suit us up, as Ephesians says, in the full armor of God. Notice only he can do that because it is his armor. Suit us up for the victory he has already won against sin, death, and the devil. Let us give thanks for him doing this now. Gracious God, you are closer to us than we are to ourselves. Lord, call us again and again back to communion with you so we may, in the words of the prodigal son's story, come to ourselves again. Remember who we are in light of your ordaining and your word. That your strength may give us the strength we need and the focus amidst all the worldly temptations and distractions and pressures. Give us the ability to share in the victory you have won in the cross and resurrection. These things we ask in your precious name, Jesus, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Be thou my best art in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.